This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your next chance to win $1,000 coming up at 2:15 as we continue with Keyword for Cash. Well, they continue with the special session over in St. Paul, which stretching into its second week now, but lo and behold, progress being made, even though we've had that audio yesterday of Kurt Dowd and Ryan Winkler and points of order. Sounded very tense, very angry, but progress is being made. In fact, last night, a couple of big pieces of legislation passed, including $250 million in bonuses to workers who are on the front line of the pandemic. A jumping-off point for our weekly Playing Politics segment with folks from the editorial board of the Star Tribune, John Rash and Patricia Lopez joining us today. Hello to you both. And John, let's start with the $250 million bonus to frontline workers. I think a lot of people are probably wondering, am I going to get a chunk of that money?
Well, certainly that is the next part of the discussion. But the overall discussions over in St. Paul have been greatly facilitated by this kind of money being available from the federal government and by tax revenue coming in better than anticipated here in the state of Minnesota. So I think it's a sign of our dysfunctional politics statewide that they're still having such a hard time hitting the finish line here and avoiding a government shutdown. Clearly looks like they're going to be able to do it, but they're in a special session, of course, even at a time where there is a significant budget surplus. One can only imagine if we would have had the deficit that at one time seemed likely given the pandemic economic contraction, that it would have been even harder to get there. But hopefully they can make it, government can continue to run, and they can look towards trying to work together a bit better in the next year, because of course we'll wind into an election year and a gubernatorial one at that for 2022.
Pat, that $250 million figure, I understand there's going to be a panel that will determine how that money gets allocated?
Yes, and right now it's supposed to be reserved for frontline workers. The exact definition of that hasn't been arrived at. So, you know, the first thought is it's going to be a lot of, you know, grocery store clerks, you know, perhaps hospital workers. These are special bonuses. And I think they're looking in particular at those who didn't get, you know, time off to get COVID shots, or, you know, maybe didn't get sick pay, something like that. So, It's surprising. I think it's a great thing to do with a portion of the money, and you know, really helps to you know, give some kind of tangible thank you. You know, in addition to calling them heroes,
right,
a little bit of money is always nice. And as for the infighting at the Capitol, boy, you know, sometimes it's worse when there's more money. sometimes when there's less money, it actually drives them to a solution. So I don't know. They're able to fight when there is money and when there isn't money.
That's kind of the nature of the beast.
Pat,
I'll go right back to you with this one. A big boost for state schools, a $1.2 billion in state classrooms, which represents the biggest funding boost in 15 years. You look at the headline on that. Is that a Democratic victory, or Republicans claiming a win on this one too?
Everybody claims to gets to claim a win on that one, you know, for different reasons. So, you know, you make adjustments in the formula that help benefit schools outstate, but there's, you know, a big bump in money overall. So there's a little something for everybody in there, the same way that there is with taxes. So they get to reduce, you know, taxes significantly across the board. Both sides get to claim some of that. This is the easy part where there are victories all around. Everybody gets to do a little something for schools. Everybody gets to do a little something for tax cuts. There's still money for roads. Yes.
John, there's still pieces of legislation that are quite controversial, police accountability. Where are we at with that? Will there be some sort of agreement coming up here before the special session ends?
Well, you're quite right that remains, and it's there for a reason, because they cannot come to a court on this. My sense is they will make some small moves on this, but not anywhere near the significant shifts that many in the DFL party had hoped to see happen during this legislative session. They're going to wait for that to the end. They may wait, as has been widely discussed, on the governor's emergency authority as well, which is a key demand of many Republicans in the state legislature as well, particularly the leadership of Senator Gazelka and Speaker Dowd. And so I think at the very end, those may move. I just cannot see a scenario right now where there's a complete overhaul on some of these provisions, but I also can't see a scenario where they're not able to finish their work and we go into a government shutdown. Every side wants to avoid that because they want to roll up their sleeves to go back into, again, what will be an election year next year.
They've made too many concessions already to let it all fall apart over public safety. The question is, what are they going to actually agree to?
Pat, on that note, there's a op-ed an opinion piece by Thomas Friedman in the paper today talking about the defund, even just the term, how that is bad for Democrats and that opens victories for Republicans as long as that term is out there. And he talks about how it originated here in his hometown of Minneapolis. Is that the central issue that you think could keep boosting Republicans? If there's some sort of embracement of this defund movement or any changes, significant changes to police, in other words, do Democrats really have to turn the tide on saying, look, we need changes in policing, but we still need police on the streets?
First of all, I personally think that defund the police is just a dreadful slogan because it gives Republicans a huge opening to hit Democrats over the head. Many of the Democrats I've talked to do not want to, in fact, defund the police, nor has that actually happened in most places. You've watched the New York mayoral primary is now turning on the issue of public safety, and some want more police. So you can weaponize those three words. But that's not really the issue. The issue is what is needed to ensure public safety that protects both, the people in the neighborhoods from crime and also, imposes some, safety requirements for police. This is not an easy thing, but it's not the kind of thing that's going to be solved with convenient, three-word slogans.
On that note, though, John, if it's a messaging issue, how did they win that messaging? Because they sure are not right now.
You're absolutely right about that. I concur with Patricia on the slogan, and it has been weaponized. And, of course, that doesn't happen unless it's accompanied by a spike in crime. And we're seeing a spiral turn into a spike, and this is becoming a key national issue. It's taking place in big cities that are almost overwhelmingly run, not just by mayors, but also city councils that are Democratic. And the Republicans have been quite successful in tying this issue to the Democrats and using the defund the police slogan that originated to a certain degree here in Minneapolis in the wake of George Floyd's murder. And, had they come out and said reform the police or support the police with reforms, something that would be more fitting to where most Democrats and certainly the vast majority of Americans are on this issue, it would have been quite different. They did not. It was one of the sleeper issues in the 2020 election that kept down gains by Democrats, and is something that clearly President Biden is quite concerned about because he's addressing the issue today, and he has long been more supportive of more police, and he is going to try to again prove that to the electorate. But the Democrats are clearly playing political catch-up here.
Talking to John Rash, Pat Lopez from the Star Tribune editorial board. This is Playing Politics, Wednesday edition, as always here. John, I'll go back to you on this one, on the pandemic. The Biden administration admitting that the July 1st goal of getting to 70% vaccination not happening. In fact, still in the 40% range. Do you see that number significantly going up anytime soon, or is this just where people are just who say they won't get vaccinated will not do so, even if we get like an FDA, you know, certification of the vaccine?
Well, one of the many challenges in moving to that goal is it's quite clear one of the dividing lines for some is their politics and, you know, how they vote and how they perceive this issue, which is certainly their right. But those that are pressing the vaccinations at the highest levels are mostly Democrats or people perceived to be Democrats by a lot of Republicans, such as Anthony Fauci, as just one example, and of course, President Biden himself. And there have been few prominent conservatives who have pushed it as aggressively as the Democrats have on this issue, and many of their voters, and this is quite clear from the states that have those extraordinary low numbers of vaccinations, are, you know, taking their cues elsewhere. And, you know, the conservative media, such as Fox News, having opinion shows that openly question the vaccines clearly is a factor as well. The one thing that may turn it around or actually significantly surge the number of vaccinations might be if the Delta variant, heaven forbid, really takes off, as public officials are quite concerned about, and if it becomes an issue of absolute alarm, or if indeed that they have to start, you know, moving back towards mask mandates or you know, shutting certain aspects of the economy down, that might be something that could concentrate some minds to say, we're going to have to up these levels of vaccinations. But we're not there yet, and indeed, the very fact that Minnesota isn't one of the leading states and one that has gotten over 70%, I think, is indicative of some of the national problems as well.
Pat, that is one of the big questions here. A lot of the people who said, you know, we praise President Trump for giving us this vaccine, but then I'm not going to take it.
It's this weird convergence of anti-vaxxers and people who seem to interpret freedom as, you know, the freedom to get a deadly illness. I don't quite understand it myself, but you don't have to look any further than Missouri, where they've had a huge outbreak of Delta variant.
Yeah, Kansas City.
Because of the stubborn refusal of much of the population to get vaccinated. And it's so very clear. There was an incident earlier in a different state where several, people in an office got sick. I think it might have been Florida. Of the five people, two were vaccinated, three weren't. Guess who got it? These vaccines are remarkably effective with remarkably few side effects. It just seems to me very ironic that we are refuse this.
John, Patricia, thank you so much for the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's John Rash, Patricia Lopez from the Star Tribune editorial board, Playing Politics every Wednesday afternoon here on the Chad Hartman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.